Hello, I'm Thomas Davis. I'm the minister of Carloway Free Church on the Isle of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides, way up in the northwest of Scotland.
Hello, I'm Andy Longway, minister of London City Presbyterian Church in the heart of our nation's capital. And welcome to the Jesus Today podcast.
And not just to the podcast, welcome to season three. This is our third season of this podcast together. We started this a year ago, and it's been amazing to see it grow and develop over these past 12 months. We are so thankful to you, our listeners, for sticking with us and for all your support over this past year. If you're new to us, we welcome you warmly, and it's great to have you with us. Please do share the podcast with others. We'd love to get others connected to us, and we're so grateful to your support. We're very excited about this coming year. Isn't that right, Andy?
Absolutely. And really excited because today we have the big reveal of our new host.
We certainly do. So those who listened to the end of season two heard that we had big news for season three. We have a new host joining us, which we are very, very excited about. And the moment has come to reveal the host's identity.
Thomas, how do we introduce her?
I know, we have to kind of build everybody up.
Build everybody up. We need a drum roll.
I don't know if I can do a drum roll on my microphone. Can I do that? There we go. Andy, who do we have?
Anne McDonald.
Anne McDonald, hello. Welcome to our podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Anne, we actually interviewed you in season two, but why don't you reintroduce yourself? Tell us about who you are, where you're from, what ministry you're doing.
So I'm Anne McDonald. I'm from, I live in Aberdeen. I'm the student and young adult worker at Bon Accord Free Church. I'm married to Rob. I have three wonderful children, Hannah, Luke and Jonathan.
Fantastic. Well, Anne, we are so delighted to have you with us for this season. A very, very warm welcome to the Jesus Today team.
Thank you.
So you will know, Anne, that we very often start our podcast with our favourite game, He's Right, I'm Wrong. And we thought that as a good initiation as our new host, we would review some of our previous discussions. And we want you to reveal what side you're on, because that's going to be crucial for our working relationship going forward as to what your opinions are on various issues.
So the stakes are very high.
They are.
So we're going to recap some of our previous quarrels over issues, and you have to tell us who's right, who's wrong, or maybe both of us are wrong. We'll give you that option as well. So you remember way back in our very first episode, Andy, what was our he's right, I'm wrong? Do you remember?
The very first one.
Yeah. This was the most controversial one of all, that was all about music.
Oh, yeah. Oh. How could I forget?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And our audience all were with me on rap music.
And they were not with you. Andy, for some unknown reason, chose rap, whereas I chose Run Rig. And rap or Run Rig, what is it?
Oh, those would probably be two options that I'm not that familiar with. And I know that's terrible to say that in the Free Church, especially about Run Rig.
Goodness.
So I feel I'm not in a very good position to arbitrate on this one.
Okay, well, top tip, if you're ever unsure, I'm right.
Okay.
Okay, neutral. Okay, no problem. Fair enough.
Sorry.
But what is your favorite, your favorite music genre, Anne?
I quite like blues and soul, or even just like singer-songwriter kind of stuff, like even folksy singer-songwriter. I don't know if that's maybe not a clear genre.
That's a good answer. And it definitely means that you favour Run Rig, because, you know, to have songwriters, you have to actually have songs, and, you know, rap doesn't have that, obviously, so...
Yeah, it does sound like I lean more toward the Run
Rig. Okay, brilliant, marvellous. 1-0 to me, Andy. Next one we've got on my list is urban v rural. So we discussed this once. Andy lives in just a disgusting polluted metropolis, whereas I live in just the pristine world of rural Highland life. Urban or rural, Anne, what would you pick?
I think both have their appeal, but urban.
No way.
I like nice restaurants and theatre, and I like to be able to go to the accessible rural, but in.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. Okay. Who wants to live in a backwater place? Like, come on.
I like going there on holiday though, Thomas.
Well, there we go. Well, that makes up for it, definitely. Okay. Now, I'm not very confident about this next one. Andy and I argued one day about fiction versus non-fiction. I am a big fan of nonfiction. I like information. The Atlas, that's the best kind of book to read. Andy reads all sorts of nonsense like Charles Dickens. And fiction or nonfiction?
Well, as an English teacher, in my having been an English teacher, I have to come down very firmly on Andy's side. And I must say, Thomas, you did go down in my estimation a little bit on that podcast. I mean, you started off very high in my estimation. Yeah. It's only a tiny bit. Well, you're still very high there.
Right. 2-1, Thomas. 2-1.
2-1. Behind. This is terrible. Okay. Right. When we had Joanne and Nathan with us, we did Sam Tunes. Mm. And I picked St Kilda. Andy picked Golden Hill as our two favourite Sam Tunes. Can you pick one of them, Anne, or are you going to go for something different?
I think I love them both. I think I'll go for St Kilda. I do like that. I know it's quite a somber one, but I do like it.
Excellent, excellent. This is good. That's good. The comeback is on. Now, we also spoke about ice creams, ice lollies. My favourite is obviously A Feast, being the best ice lolly that there is. Andy chose Mint Cornetto. What are you going to say, Anne?
Again, I'm sorry, Andy. I have to go with Thomas on this one because I do feel mint ice cream does have a slight toothpaste vibe. I do give you points for the cornetto element. I appreciate a good cornetto is a good choice, but the mint bit, sorry.
Interesting. Okay, we've got a couple more. We discussed coffee on one episode. I said we were talking about our best kind of high street like chains. I said Nero. Andy said Costa. What's it going to be for you, Anne?
I think, I'm sorry, I would choose a different one altogether. Pret is my favourite. Sorry.
I've got a Pret subscription, so I can say Pret.
There you go. I'm on your side for this one then, Andy.
Well, funnily enough, several listeners got in touch afterwards to say actually Pret is the best. So there you go. Our audience is already with you, Anne. So look at that.
Brilliant. So,
okay, now last one. And this is the most controversial of all because we've had lots of people comment on this since I think it was a couple of episodes ago. Talking about Christmas dinner, talking about the most important element of Christmas dinner, bread sauce, which is utterly magnificent. For some unknown reason, Andy Longway does not like it. You spoke, Anne, about your estimations of me going down. My estimations of the entire country have gone down because all I've heard since that episode is Andy's right about bread sauce. Andy's right about bread sauce.
And Anne, it's hung right now. It's 3-3. So this is the
Dear, it all hangs on bread sauce.
It all hangs on bread sauce. So what's it going to be, Anne? Are you pro or against bread sauce?
I am pro bread sauce, but possibly not as pro as you are, Thomas. I don't know if that's possible.
Fantastic.
I am so disappointed. Can we get a new host?
Look at that. Bread sauce won it for me. That is just, this season could not have got off to a better start.
So Thomas, as we kick off our second season of Jesus Today, we are going to kick off with the topic of prayer. As we follow Jesus, a key part of the Christian life is prayer, talking with God, bringing all our needs before him. And I know this is an area we've touched on in the past, but this we're going to devote a whole episode to. So let's kick off and let's just share what's our own experience of prayer. I know most of our listeners, I know that in pastoral ministry, some of the questions I'm often faced is I really struggle with prayer. Can you help me? What are your experiences of prayer, guys?
I think for me, prayer is one of these topics that kind of does two things at the same time for me as a Christian, in the sense that at one level, it's something that, is so valuable and so precious and that you feel so privileged to have in your life. And yet at the very same time, it's something that always makes me feel guilty and makes me feel like I'm, not where I want to be in terms of my prayer life and my life as a disciple. And I think that's something that I've experienced my whole Christian walk. It's over 25 years since I became a Christian now. And yet, looking back, I can see prayer as something that's, been part of that journey all the way, but it's probably something that I've struggled with and struggled with in different ways at different times. And we'll maybe talk about that a wee bit more, but it's definitely something that I feel that I wish was deeper, stronger, more mature in my prayer life. So it's definitely been an up and down journey for me, I would say.
Yeah, Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And I think one of the things that I found really helpful just shifting the way I thought about prayer was, I think when I was a very new Christian, I had that idea that, you know, you should read your Bible and pray and do that in the morning and do that in the evening. And it was sort of this very set aside thing. And that's a good thing. But just learning the longer that I've been a Christian that prayer is a much more organic, dynamic thing, and it's just become part of my whole day. And just as kind of, you know, thinking about prayer, often it's always accompanied by that little word all or always. Mm. And that's something that strikes me as you read about prayer in the New Testament in particular, and, you know, when Paul talks about taking your thoughts captive. And I think that's something that once I kind of switched from that way of thinking of it as this very separate thing and this very formal thing, that really, really helped. And just taking time on a walk or driving somewhere, like dead time, and turning that into prayer has been just a really helpful thing.
That's so true. Yeah. What about you, Andy?
I think when I first became a Christian, right, I think something happened was just the gift that is prayer opened up. I could address God as my Father. And I remember just the sweet delight of prayer, just always wanting to pray, and there was that first love and just discovering this amazing privilege. I grew up without a dad, so I remember one of the biggest privileges was just being able to say Father, and knowing God as a Heavenly Father, that I was his adopted son. There was something really redemptive in that. But that being said, you know, as you go on in Christian life, then it becomes a real struggle. Like, I find it easier in the morning, instead of praying, just to get on with the day and start doing things. And if, you know, prayer is one of the ways that we express our dependence and our trust on God, sometimes, sadly, I look at my life and I see that I just trust in myself and depend on, you know, myself, my own resources. And that's been a constant battle. And sometimes even the talking about prayer instantly, you feel guilt. I remember I was in a coaching session and I was discussing a vision for the church and such like. And the guy said to me, "Have you prayed about this?" And I just remember, like, I had a frog in my throat, because I didn't want to say no. I wanted to say, yeah, I had prayed about it, but the truth was, no, I hadn't really, you know, it wasn't burst in my knees. And so I realized that this is one of those topics that you know, it can be guilt-inducing for people, but the beautiful reality is what you've just said there, Anne. It's, you know, once you discover what prayer is and can be, that instead of it just being this thing, it's a dynamic, it's a living relationship where we're invited to be involved in it all the time, and redeeming the dead time of the day, and you can have a conversation anywhere and everywhere with God. It's so beautiful. One of the questions I often hear is, right, if God is sovereign, why do we need to pray? I suppose the question is, why do we need to pray?
That's a question that I think, you know, a lot of people actually wrestle with, and I think particularly in the theological landscape that our church is in, that we have grown up in, and that I'm sure many of our listeners have grown up in, where there's a huge emphasis on the sovereignty of God and the fact that he is in control of everything, he knows all things, and you have that incredibly precious language, I think it's Psalm 139, that, you know, before we even speak, you know, he knows our words. And you can find yourself thinking, well, no need to speak. He knows it already, you know. And I struggled with that. I struggled with that an awful lot, with that question about why do I need to pray, and what place does prayer have in my life as a Christian? It's interesting, Andy. You spoke about, you know, a real sort of vibrant sense of energy in prayer when you first became a Christian. I was probably the opposite, in the sense that I've just felt a kind of enormous sense of duty to pray. And, you know, I would pray, you know, morning and evening, and it very quickly actually became almost like this thing I had to do, and it became kind of longer and longer and more things added to the prayer list, and too scared to take anything off it. And it just became this really rigid, almost obligation that I had to go through every day. And I look back at that, and I think that was, a lot of it was motivated by guilt. And I think that ties in with what you're saying, that, you know, that question, you know, why should we pray? It has to be answered by what kind of relationship do we have with God? Like that's what shapes what prayer should be. And if your relationship with God is, you know, well, he's expecting these requirements of me, then you pray because of guilt, which I think I've done at times over my life. If, you know, we think, well, God is there to give me the stuff I want, then, you know, we just pray to God asking him for things. And yet these are both misunderstandings of what lies at the heart of a relationship, because you hit the nail on the head, Andy, that at the heart of it is just a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. And the minute you think God is our Father who loves us and cherishes us, that doesn't give you the answer to the question, why should we pray? It takes away the need to even ask that question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, well, of course I want to speak to mm-hmm. him, and of course I need to be close to him. Mm-hmm. But that's a question that we struggle with, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think also it's really about changing us as well. Like I feel when I've spent time in prayer with the Lord, I can go into it all worried and stressed and feeling burdened and just like overwhelmed. And then having, like, I love the way that Peter puts it, it's 1 Peter 7, 5 or 7, casting all your cares on him, for he loves you. So that just throwing them to God, knowing he's our Father, is just like a little child just hurling herself at her daddy and just...
Mm. Yeah.
And then you come away just feeling lighter because you've cast them, you've thrown them.
Yep.
And I think that's part of prayer, is just lifting your eyes up and seeing, oh, God is sovereign. Yeah. This is amazing. Yeah. That is the best news ever. And I need daily reminders of that.
Absolutely. It's so true. And you know, I remember finding it really helpful becoming a parent. You know, I often felt with God that, you know, especially it relates back to what I said about feeling, you know, that sense of duty and obligation to pray. It was almost like I needed to sort of prove to God that I loved him and wanted to follow him. And now I think of my own children, it's like I don't ever want them to feel they have to prove to me that they're worthy of my love. I love them, and I always will, and they're always my children. And I don't want that to be the thing they ever feel they need to prove. I want that to be the thing that they assume when they come to me, you know. And I think that's such an important thing for us to remember with God. It's like the fact that he loves us and he wants to hear us, we can just assume that. We don't need to not assume in the sense of guessing, but assume in the sense of it's with us from the very start.
I read an illustration just the other day there on a book on prayer, and it was the guy said that he would often be in his study, and when his kids were really young and infants, they would often come and knock his door, and he would say, "Yes, how can I help you? In essence, what do you want?" And then say, "Daddy, I just want to be with you." And in those moments, he realized a child wanting to be with their father is what prayer is. Mm. Is that we just want to be with God and spend time in his presence. And if we could see it like, I think, being a parent kind of adds a new dimension. This isn't earning your love. This is just spending time with someone who you love, and you get to pour out your heart. And when you said there, Anne, I think that one of the fascinating things in scripture, you know, that verse, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you, and he'll sustain you, is that nearly every time prayer is mentioned in a verse, it comes with a promise or a reward. So cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you, or he's going to sustain you. Or when Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, but when you pray, go into the secret place, God the Father will see you in the secret and he will reward you. Or Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything take it to the Lord in prayer. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. And so there's this beautiful understanding that, you know, when we pray, God actually delights to hear us and answer us, and he wants to reward us. So when scripture is inviting us to pray, it's given like compelling reasons to pray. And then the other side of scripture that's beautiful is that the scriptures understand that we are so weak when it comes to prayer. So I'm preaching through Romans 8 right now, and the verses I'm going to come to is like, when you don't know what to pray, don't worry, because the Spirit intercedes in the throne of your heart. And he puts into words the groans that you can't put into words. Or Jesus with his disciples, pray that you don't fall into temptation. But then he diagnoses the problem and says, guys, I know that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the most beautiful things is just how scripture, God, who wants us to pray, gives us every reason, compelling reason to pray. Mm-hmm. But he also understands that as fragile and feeble human beings that we will struggle, and he's given us mm-hmm. even resources of the Holy Spirit to help us to pray.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing you just said about resources, I think that's a big part of it as well, isn't it? Because I love 2 Peter chapter 1, where it says he has given us everything we need for a godly life. And then in the next paragraph, it's like, so therefore, and I think that I remember reading Paul Tripp talking about that, those two paragraphs, and saying it's like a person who has an inheritance in the bank of like 60 mil, you know, you can name an inordinate sum of money, and then but they're kind of scrabbling around in bins for scraps if we're not coming to our Heavenly Father and asking. So I think that's been helpful for me, is sorting out there are things that are God's revealed will for us and are there for the taking. Like I love James chapter 1, where it says if anyone lacks wisdom, and if you ask and believe, he will give it to you, do not doubt. And so there are things that are like just God is waiting, saying, come and get it, come and ask, and you can have it in abundance. And then there are other things, like it might be circumstantial things, like will I pass my exams, or you know, will my cancer diagnosis be positive, really hard things, but we don't know his will for that. And those might be really hard answers, but in those hard answers, we have an abundance of resources, like you said, Andy, that we can go to God and he will give. Yeah. But one of the things that you know, I always think, but sometimes when you ask for something like patient, you know, it's God's will for us to be patient, but he might give it to us in a way that really is not just, you know, downloading patience, but making us learn patience. So it can be, you know, be careful what you ask for in a way.
Absolutely. No, that's so true. And I think that's often, because, you know, often the case is we can fall into the trap of wanting to come to God in our own terms, and we also fall into the trap of wanting him to then respond to us on our terms as well, you know, and yet it's not like that. But what you guys said that I think was so helpful, that, you know, we can often approach prayer with that sense of duty, pressure, guilt, as though there's almost like a threat against us if we don't do it, you know. And yet that's the complete opposite of how it's presented in the Bible. It's presented as just all in the language of invitation and of God's amazing generosity. And I think that's just such a helpful thing for us to remember. I remember hearing somebody say that when you think about prayer, prayer is work. So there's one sense in which, you know, one of the most important gospel works we can ever do is pray. And I remember once hearing Eric Alexander say, you know, people will often say, you know, we need to pray for the work of the gospel, pray for this work, pray for that work, pray. And he said, yes, that's okay. But he said, never forget, prayer is the work of the gospel. Like, by praying, you are doing that work, and it's the front line of gospel work. So prayer is work. And I think that's an amazing thing for us to remember, that we can participate in that gospel work at any time, at any place, praying. But it was also said, prayer is work, but prayer is rest. So when you pray, you know, you're also going to rest. You're putting your head on the pillow of God's love and grace. You're casting cares on him, you're offloading onto him, you're pouring out tension onto him, which he can carry and we can't. And so you've got that beautiful balance of your prayer, yes, it's work, but it's also rest, and it's where we can just, and I found that really helpful to think in those two terms.
Yeah. I read this, that is really, really helpful. And what you said there, Thomas, beautiful, just resting in the pillow of his love. A book I'm gonna plug at the end. I'm gonna quote Derek Prime, right? He said in one place, prayer is the business of the heart more than of the tongues, and God reads our hearts as easily as he hears the words of our lips. And one of the life transforming moments when I was reading that book was that he said, you know, prayer is really coming to truly just cast your cares upon him, to express your trust and dependence in him, and that God knows us, you know, before we even are going to ask him anything or say anything to him, he knows what we're going to say. And one of the beautiful things is that a big part of the business of prayer is truly resting in God's presence. And even in silence, his Spirit takes the things we can't put into words and praise them. And I remember that was one thing, going back to my young days as a Christian, this did happen. I would go to church, right, and just a young Christian, and I'd hear a sermon, and truly it would take my breath away to the point that after I couldn't speak. And I just remember like sitting in the pew being like, oh my goodness, God loves me this much. I can't believe this. He's forgiven me this. He's given me this. And part of it was just being in his presence. And I, just when I was thinking about that, I was thinking, I've lost that sometimes in my spiritual walk today, those moments where in beauty. I remember I'd gone to a conference and it was Jeremy McCoy, the minister up in Aberdeen, who preached at it at the Faith Mission Conference in Edinburgh. And I honestly couldn't get up from what he had said. And with, like, I couldn't speak to anyone. I was just so enraptured by who God was and how great the wonder is. And so even understanding that prayer involves that being silent, being alone with God before his throne, that just adds it just enriches or enlarges one's understanding of what prayer is. It's not just us always coming before him and speaking all that we've got in our hearts. He knows, but just delighting to be in his presence.
Yeah, that's so beautiful and I think so, so important to remember. But prayer is a struggle. You know, it brings some of the highest moments of joy, but also it can sometimes feel difficult. And I think, you know, I think all of us feel as though our prayer lives are more failure than success. I think that's how often we'll look at ourselves. But I think, you know, it's good for us to think, especially for all of you listening as well, there are things that can help us. There's some practical things that can help us in terms of prayer. So what are some of the things that you guys have found helpful, even at a very practical level, in terms of your prayer life?
Yeah, I think that one of the struggles that I can have is distraction when I'm praying, you know, that your mind can just wander off and be like thinking about something else. And that just feels so, you can feel so much guilt about that because you're praying to God and then you're thinking about something completely else. And so I don't always do this, but when I'm finding praying really difficult to concentrate, this sounds very old fashioned and obvious, but I find kneeling, just simply kneeling, mm-hmm. can change that. And there's something about that physical body posture that can focus my mind. And like I say, I don't do that all the time, but I do that when I feel quite distant from God and it can kind of refocus me. There's something so connected to our physicality, our physical selves and our spiritual selves. So that's just one little thing. But
I think that's so true, though, like even something like that, like posture, you know, can actually make a difference. And you actually see that so clearly in the Bible that actually there's so often that the posture of prayer is, it's not one fixed posture, but it's definitely something that's a really important aspect of it, definitely.
It's interesting, the Jews used to pray with their, and still do, with their hands in the air, with open hands, and it's like they're waiting to receive God's blessing. They know that in the very act of prayer, God is hearing and answering. I've got a guy in the church who's actually born a Jew, but he's now loves the Lord. And when he prays and sings psalms, he has his hands up in the air.
That's awesome.
Beautiful. I think one of the things that just to help in prayer, I think just an open Bible, like it's a two-way conversation, hearing God speak. And then when you've got an open Bible and you're reading a passage, sometimes that can be the prompt either to confess one sin or the prompt, how can I pray for others in this intercession? And especially when you either it's in the Psalms or even any passage, but some passages, particularly in the New Testament, can be really helpful to know how best to pray for other people, that they would stand firm in the will of God, that their love for the Lord Jesus would abound more and more, that they would know that the Holy Spirit's power is at work within them, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So an open Bible, I think, is a huge help. Journaling, for me, is one of the ways that... So I know it's such the spiritual attack from Satan to distract us. So being able just to write things down the bonus I find with journaling, if I don't journal a prayer, I won't return thanks when God answers the prayer. Mm-hmm. But if I've got a note of it, I can go back and say, man, I was praying for this yesterday and God's already answered this prayer.
That's amazing.
And so, yeah, I find journaling prayer is really helpful.
Yeah, so funny, Andy, you said that and I was just stabbed by a thousand pangs of guilt in my heart because I'm thinking, oh man, there's so many things that I don't thank God for, you know, when he... It's so true, though. One thing I found really helpful is actually the Lord's Prayer. I found that really helpful in my own prayer life. You know, as I said, when I was maybe a young Christian, I had what became really quite a rigid... pressured approach to prayer, and I think after a couple of years, you know, I think God helped me to see that, you know, that wasn't actually the right way to do it, because it very quickly became going through the motions, and that liberated me from that that kind of pressure and guilt that that was really becoming, was shrouding over my prayer life at that time. But you can then go too far in the other way where you don't then have any sort of structure to it. And I found the Lord's Prayer really, really helpful for that. And just praying through the Lord's Prayer and you know, expanding on each point. Sometimes it's not always in the same order, but just thinking through, you know, for God's name to be hallowed. I actually heard someone just recently say, Ed Clowney it was, I was listening to a lecture of his, and he said, you know, when you're praying hallowed be your name, you're actually just saying to God, look, just be yourself, be who you are. And I thought that's a beautiful, expression of adoration to God. Praying that God's kingdom would come. I find that really helpful as a minister. I think what I want to pray for, you know, the advancement of the kingdom in my community and to pray for other congregations around the country. I find that that just prompts that prayer, which is helpful. Give us our daily bread. It's like, right, there's loads happening today, Lord. I need your energy, your strength. Forgiveness for sin, forgiving others. You know, forgiving others, I find that is so helpful to just, if someone's frustrated me, that line in the Lord's Prayer is where you can leave it, which is great. Praying I wouldn't be led into temptation. And I find it really helpful to go through that, expanding on those points. Sometimes I remember a really good friend of mine, a huge help and mentor to me, Derek Lamont, minister in St. Columbus. He spoke about how he would, pray through the armor of God from Ephesians 6. So lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, and then right armor, put it on, belt of truth. And I find that a really helpful thing. And I think the thing that was really helpful, and actually even just happened to me this morning, I was praying, and that niggling thought is like, oh man, my prayers are so useless. You feel, and then I was praying through the Lord's Prayer while that kind of thought started to come into my mind. And then I remember Jesus' words where he says, pray like this. I thought, this is the way Jesus said to pray. So that's, and that was just really reassuring. It doesn't mean you have to always pray about the shape of the Lord's Prayer. I don't always do that, but it was just, it's such a wonderful thing to come back to that I think is really helpful.
Yeah. I think, that's so helpful what you've both been saying about God's word being the starting point. And I think that has been one of the most helpful things that I've learned in my walk with prayer is just being able to go to God's word and turning it into a prayer. And it can be, because I remember my dad teaching me Acts, you know, the acronym Acts. Yes, yeah. And I think that's really helpful too. But the adoration part, it's so hard to just do again and again yourself. But then when you go to God's word, that's so easy. You find like multitude ways to adore God when you're looking. And especially the Psalms, I think, are super helpful as well for praying, like turning. Well, they are prayers, many of, you know, they're songs and prayers at the same time. And and what's so lovely about the Psalms and praying the Psalms is, I think they give you a boldness you wouldn't think you could have. You know, some of the Psalms, you're like, oh, can I pray that? That seems a bit presumptuous. Or, and, you know, even for when you're going through really hard times or praying for someone who's going through something just unthinkable, that pattern of lament that you see in the Psalms, like just that is not only okay, but what we are to do is just articulate and sometimes just sit in that with God, like be in his presence in there. And I just think that helps to expand my understanding of how I can pray, because I think you come at prayer with lots of preconceived ideas from out with God's word, from just church culture. So I think that going back to God's word, it reorganizes everything in a biblical way, which is really
I think that's
surprisingly different to what you think it would be.
very true
I remember a kids talk Alan Shearer gave it, and it's your hand, so your thumb is your finger nearest to you, so begin your prayers by praying for those who are nearest to you. The pointing finger reminds you of your teacher, so pray for those who teach you the word and those who instruct you in your word, your parents, your pastor. Your middle fingers, the tallest finger, so pray for those in power, pray for the government, pray for the monarchy. Your next finger is your weakest finger, so pray for those who are weak and suffering. And then your pinky finger is the smallest finger, so pray for those who are often forgot about, the persecuted church. And, you know, there's all these different helps to know how to order your prayer. I know we've been speaking a lot about private prayer. I'd love to transition to public prayer just for one thing. But what I was going to say there is that one of the privileges when you don't know, when you can't pray, whether you're suffering, you're in just a tough season, you don't know what to pray, is that I think one of the privileges of being part of the family of God is that one of the callings that Thomas rests incumbent upon our lives is that we are pastors and we're called to preach the word and to pray for the saints. That's like the primary heart of our calling. And so praying through who are the members and who are the people who are coming to our church. And so one of the, when you can't pray, to rest in the knowledge that not only is the Spirit praying on the throne of your heart, the Son ever lives to pray on the throne of heaven, but so too are your brothers and sisters in Christ, not least your pastor praying for you. When you don't know how to pray. But that leads me to talk, what about, I think, you know, private prayer we all struggle with and have those struggles, but what about public prayer? So, you know, in our church sort of context, we have prayer meetings. I was recently asked, are prayer meetings biblical? Do you need to pray with your brothers and sisters? Do I really need to go to this? Is this just another thing that church adds to me that's not actually in the Bible? And someone else said to me, I've, you know, come along to the prayer meeting, but I really struggle. I've never prayed in public and I don't know how to pray. And I hear others pray and I just feel intimidated. Yeah. Any advice or tips for that? So, yeah, what should we pray in public? Do we need to pray in public? Do we need to go to prayer meetings? Are they biblical? And then if you can't pray in public, how do you even begin? Like, where do you begin?
It's a great question. I think in a funny way, you know, public prayer is very biblical, but what is seen in the Bible is the fact that that public prayer was actually almost abused, in the sense that, you know, people were, you know, praying in public to make a show of it, you know. So I don't think that was, you know, there to say don't pray in public. I think it was there, you know, don't pray in public like that, you know, and to avoid using it as an opportunity to make a show of yourself. I think that, you know, it's really, really interesting to think about, because public prayer is one of those situations where you can easily start comparing yourselves to other people. And usually, you know, when we are in our Christian lives, the minute we start doing that, we just see everything that's good in other people and everything that's rubbish in ourselves. And that can be a danger where we feel that we struggle in that way. I think that the concept of public prayer and praying together in a church actually comes back to what we were saying at the very, very start, that at the heart of prayer lies the fact that God is our Father. And if God is our Father, we are his children. If we are his children, we are his brothers and sisters together. And so our personal relationship in prayer privately is grounded on that family gospel dynamic. Mm-hmm. And exactly the same family gospel dynamic is what tells us to pray together as a church family. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a helpful and important thing to do. And for it just to be as natural as it can possibly be. And that's, I think, something that's so so important, that we're just natural. And for some people, it might be very natural to pray quite a long prayer, talking to God about loads of stuff, and that's absolutely fine. For other people, it might be a very, very short prayer, and that is just as fine and just as good. But that family element, I think, is what should lie at the core of that.
That's so helpful, because I think that is really, it is such a struggle. You know, even if you are quite good at praying in front of people, that can become a pride thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it can go either way. And I just think of that, the parable that Jesus told about the tax collector and the Pharisee, and just, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that was his prayer, and that was just so, that was everything that it needed to be. And just praying one line is absolutely fine. It doesn't have to be a big long prayer. I mean, I guess that's different when you're, you know, you guys are ministers, and you do intercessory prayers, and that's a different thing. But I'm thinking just praying with your brothers and sisters. It doesn't have to be there's something so sweet about praying with your brothers and sisters. I think there's a special blessing in that, praying together and sharing that, being a bit vulnerable and sharing what we need to pray for each other. There's something so beautiful in that, that I think, and I think I could be wrong, but I think in Acts you do often see while they were praying,
right,
quite often something happens.
There's
quite a model in Acts of gathering together. Yeah. And it seems like the early church were very often just gathering and praying together.
Yeah. So. And they were gathered in the upper room, waiting for Pentecost. Yeah. Then Peter's in prison and they're having a prayer meeting praying for him, yeah, and he gets released and they don't believe it. The little girl runs away from the door. Yeah. Can't believe it. One of the things, I think, and is it, I can't remember the verse right now, but when two are in agreement on a matter, God hears and answers. Yes. There's a biblical principle that when we pray together and there's that unity of spirit, that oneness of heart and vision, God delights to bless and reward his people praying together. Mm-hmm. And then in James, if you get sins, confessing it to one another. If someone is sick, pray for one another that they may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person, availeth much in the old translation. Mm-hmm. But there's that real sense that praying together is actually part of our sanctification. It's how we grow. We're to share our needs with each other. Yeah. We're to depend upon one another as a family of faith. I think there's two things I'd say about public prayer or prayer meetings. You don't need to pray publicly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can go. One of the best ways to grow in your prayer life is to listen to the prayers of others. But not just listen, you are praying with them in spirit. And this is one little thing, it's a pet peeve of a pastor, right? I think everyone, if you just say, if everyone says amen at the end of someone's prayer, that is us praying together.
Mm-hmm.
Our Presbyterian prayer meetings, it can be like someone prays and then it's just, they say amen and it's silence. But in one sense, amen is saying, let it be so. I am in wholehearted agreement.
Yeah.
And so that is the way we pray together, is that even you don't need to pray publicly, but your heart is praying with them and for them and affirming that prayer. And then the other thing I'd say in prayer meetings, the way to learn if you've never prayed in public is sometimes just to write out a prayer and take it with you. Mm. And it can just be that short prayer, but you don't need to feel that. Sometimes I think the burden or the weight, if you're thinking about, oh, what am I going to say? I don't even know how to pray. Yeah. Extemporary prayers really, for the first thing can be, but we're praying in the spirit, but you can write your prayer before, come prepared. And sometimes that even helps because you can be just, this is what I'm going to say. And this is how I'm going to live before the Lord.
Yeah. I think that's so helpful that, what you were saying about saying amen at the end and just, you are praying together, aren't you? Prayer isn't just out loud. You are with your brother or sister as they pray.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And one of the beautiful things of prayer is, we can ask the Lord to help us to pray. So all of the worry we have about praying in front of other people, we can pray about that.
Yes.
Say, Lord, cleanse my motives as I pray. Help me to know what to say. Help me to be focused on you and not what's around me. And he is faithful in that as well. So.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that, all of this reminds us of is that at the heart of the gospel is grace. And I think that we just really need to remember that at the heart of our prayer lives is grace. That as we come to God, his disposition towards us is one of just abundant grace.
Mm.
He's not looking for a particular standard of prayer, not looking for length or eloquence or expertise or anything, because it's all just an opportunity for him to pour out his grace upon us. And for that reason, we actually have to show grace to ourselves and recognize, look, my prayer doesn't have to be perfect. God's not looking for that. And we show grace towards one another where, we stumble through prayers side by side, all under that waterfall of God's grace as he calls us into his presence, which I think I look at my own prayer life and I think I want guilt to be replaced with grace more and more in terms of how I think about prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the devil that's delighting in our guilt, isn't it? Because that is, and I think what you were saying earlier, Thomas, about praying through the armor of God, that's so helpful, because I think that's such a fundamental purpose of prayer. It's like spiritual warfare, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And and actually at the end of that passage, I think it says pray always, all the time, with each other, for each other. It's like all of this, it's prayer that's going on here.
Absolutely. So good.
And I should say, as the one who's not a minister in this in this trio, how important it is to pray for you guys as ministers. Like, that's a really important thing, because you'll be under a spiritual attack. It's a hard path. I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning and just noticed you know, knowing we're going to talk about prayer, but how it says, as you help us by your prayers, like that's a really important role for us as the congregation to be praying for you.
I'm so glad you said that, Anne, because I can't really put into words the difference that that makes, you know, knowing people are praying for you. And I don't know about you, Andy, there's been several times when there's maybe been something particularly important in terms of having to say something or talk about something or a particular sermon or setting or whatever. And you know that a lot of people have been really focused and faithful in praying for that. And those are times when it just felt like the wind is carrying you through your sermon. And there's a strength and a freedom there that doesn't come from me. And it's always the case that the best sermons you ever preach have that. And it's nothing to do with me, and it's nothing to do with us.
Absolutely, Tom. I wholeheartedly agree that. And, you know, when you were quoting Ephesians 6, I think the most stunning thing at the end there has been Paul saying, pray, always pray in the Spirit. And then he says, pray for me, that I may be given words to preach boldly. And the Apostle Paul needed the encouragement of prayer to be able to communicate the gospel. And how much, it's our dependence upon God. We cannot do the Christian life on our own. And the privileges we get to pray for one another. And it is spiritual. I think part of living in the West, one of the dangers we perhaps have is that we forget the spiritual warfare. We're not as conscious or as aware of it. You know, it's just not normal to always be speaking about it. But prayer is a true spiritual warfare. It's Satan and his minions do not want us to be praying. He trembles when saints bow their heads or get on their knees, because he knows this is where the work has been done. And so, yeah, we've got to pray for each other. We've got to, but if you've said absolutely, it's grace that brings us to prayer,
true.
It's motivation, and we being gracious with ourselves. Grace is the fuel of the prayer life. And I think the big thing, one of the theological concepts that right now I'm learning is life in the Spirit. So pray always in the Spirit. The Spirit is the one. I was reading this morning Galatians, that Jesus was born at the set time. Born of a woman, born under the law, to free us from the law, so that we may be adopted as sons. And then it says, and by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit is the one who enables us to be the children of God. And our prayer life, it's beautiful, but it's the Spirit in us, helping us. I just think, the life in the Spirit for the Christian is the greatest thing, that he's the engine that drives our spiritual life. And he's, even when we feel that we're struggling, he's still powerfully at work within us. And that's just a beautiful reality of the Christian life, is that God truly has given us all the resources we need.
And you know, when you think about that, Andy, the question, do I need to pray, just evaporates. And you're like, oh man, I just want to pray. We are sponsored by Christian Focus, and we're so thankful to the team at Christian Focus for their support to this podcast, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to be able to share some of the books that they make available. Andy, you've got two or three to plug for us today. Tell us about them.
Yeah, so I've got two. A third one, I've just forgotten its title, but I'll tell you about it in a second. So the first one, though, is an old Christian Focus publication. When I say old, I think it was published either in the late 80s or early 90s. It's Derek Prime, Practical Prayer. Now, the late Derek Prime, a fantastic preacher. He was a minister of Charlotte Chapel. I remember actually going to meet him in his nursing home in Edinburgh with Derek Lament, and he asked me how he could be praying for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember him taking a note of my name, and he sent me an email 3 months later saying, I've prayed for you every Tuesday and prayed for these things. Is there any way I can update that? And then like 6 months later, he wrote back to say the same thing. I've been praying for your new prayer points. And this day,
that's amazing.
And he was a man of great prayer, but he's written this book, Practical Prayer. And it is what it says. It is practical prayer. He's just given helps and tips. And one of Derek's amazing gifts is he keeps things so simple. He's so concise and succinct in the way he says things, but it is it's a really refreshing read, and it'll equip you, and he just beautiful insights of what prayer. He says prayer is beyond definition because it involves so much. It's lament, it's casting our cares, it's adoration, it's thanksgiving, but there's mystery. The Spirit of God is involved. So highly recommend Derek Prime, Practical Prayer. And then there are two new books just hot off the press. One's a collection of quotes from Robert Murray McChane, and I've got that in my hand, The Sweet Bond of Christian Love. And this would be it's quotes from Robert Murray McChane, from sermons, from books, the things he'd written, and on all the different topics of justification, temptation, faith, prayer. It's an excellent resource, something that you could dip in and out of, and it would be great alongside your devotional life. If you want to pray, there are quotes here you could just meditate upon that would, I think, stir your affections to pray more. The other book that I don't have in my hand is a very similar book. It's written by Andrew Bonar, who actually wrote the biography of Robert Murray McChane, and it's also a collection of quotes.
The Smile of Thy Love is called that one. Yeah. The Smile of Thy Love, yeah.
And it would do the exact same thing, but they are two great 19th century godly ministers who wrote much, preached much, thought much about who God is and his love. And I think they would be just great tools for your Christian life. So highly recommend, go out and buy them and add them to your library.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Andy. Thank you so much for being with us. We are very excited about the rest of season 3. We've got special guests coming up. We've got lots of topics to look at and lots of books to share with you. If you have any topics that you'd like us to talk about, any questions, please do get in touch. We love to hear from you, and we're so thankful for your support. A wee reminder that you can connect with us online. You can find us on X at Jesus Today Pod, and you can email us at Jesus Today podcast. No, not at Jesus Today Podcast. Hello at JesusTodayPodcast.com. Look at that. I've been off duty for the last 6 weeks, so out of practice. Hello at JesusTodayPodcast.com. We'd absolutely love to hear from you.
Thank you as well to Anne for joining us. Anne, we are so grateful to be on this journey with you. I'm only sorry that your tastes aren't that great. But hopefully in this season we can fix that.
We'll bond over some, we'll gang up against Thomas on Saturday. Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you to our listeners, and we look forward to dropping into your podcast feed very soon.